Okay, so the speech came about because I felt some time back that there were some of us perhaps who were walking with condemnation. And so this morning I'm going to preach on Romans 8, and that's a very well-known portion of Scripture. It's called the security of the believer is what some people would call it. I feel that for us today, that God is saying this portion of Scripture for you is my love letter to you this morning. That is what I want to say. I've written this letter and I'm going to deliver it today, and I'm going to tell you how much I love you this morning. So, in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, we read of the story of Paul. And Paul says, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Now, if you know Paul, Paul is the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. A lot of what we understand about law and grace comes from Paul, and he's taught us many great things about God. But here he is sitting, or I'm guessing he's sitting because he's writing, and he's writing this letter to the Romans, and he's saying to them, "Guys, I don't feel very good right now. I'm struggling this morning," or I guess it was the morning. "I'm struggling here because I feel like a wretched person." Now, a wretched person is somebody who feels, "I feel terrible. I feel like I'm a dirty person. I feel like I'm a horrid person." He says, because of what I'm experiencing here. And when we go back to Romans chapter 7, verse 19, we start to see what it is that Paul experienced. And he said there in verse 19, he says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." And he says that I love God. Everything I do is for God. I've even given up what I used to do before, and I've focused completely on sharing the gospel. I travel from city to city, and I go and tell people about the wonderful things of God. I tell them about how they've got to be holy and how they've got to follow this awesome God. But what happens? I find myself sinning, he says. And I feel terrible. I feel condemned. I feel as though I shouldn't be in the presence of God. I feel as though I shouldn't be worshiping God. Like I shouldn't even go and tell people about the saving grace of Jesus because of what's inside of me. And I'm hearing at the same time as he's saying that, I'm hearing the enemy in the background going, opportunity. Here's a chance for me to try and neutralize this guy. I see he's feeling poorly about himself. I can go in there right now and I can go and lie further to him and tell him all kinds of things about how he's not good enough, how he shouldn't be worshiping God, how he shouldn't be worshiping him. Because here's my opportunity to go now. And had Paul stayed longer in that position, he would have been listening to those lies, believing those lies, and a lot of what we see in the Bible today would not have been written. And that is what that condemnation brought. And it was because of the sin that he had committed from time to time that caused him to have those feelings. And just as he's hitting rock bottom and he's about to listen to those lies, he remembers something of the truth of God. And he thinks to himself, "Wait, hold on a minute." And we go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Just on a technicality quickly, that you'll see is from the King James Version. And the reason why I chose that King James Version is because it says in one sentence what the NIV does over six verses. But if you read it through in the NIV or any of the others, it comes to the same conclusion. That there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And that last part is a definition of those who are in Christ Jesus. It's those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And he picks himself up and he says, "Wait, hold on a minute. I know the truth. I'm not going to listen to those lies. And the truth is this, that even though I find myself doing things I'm not supposed to, even though I find myself sinning, I understand that I am not condemned." Now, right through the Romans chapter 8, legal language is used. And the word condemnation is used in legal terms. So if you go to court and somebody thinks you've done something wrong, then you'll go through a process of a hearing and of a cross-questioning, and you will find that the judge will then decide if you are guilty. He'll say, you've been tried, you're guilty, and I'm going to sentence you now. And you've been sentenced, and off you go to prison, for example, and that is condemnation. You have been condemned, you become a condemned man. And that's what he was saying here, is there is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And this for me, as I said, I'm going to just take this Romans 8 and I'm going to speak not from Paul's point of view, but though it was God speaking to us. And like I said, I felt like this was a love letter that he had for us this morning. And that he's speaking into that very thing today, saying to us that there's no condemnation for those of you and those of us who walk according to who are in Christ Jesus and walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. And there's this joy that is coming over Paul. And that thing is starting to lift in the name of Jesus. That freedom is starting to come as that condemnation starts to leave. So Romans 8 starts with that. And towards the end of Romans 8, in verse 38, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I'm hearing God saying all the time as he's speaking to us, and he's saying, there is nothing that can separate me from loving you. Nothing can come in between my love and you. That's what that scripture says. Nothing. So he starts with saying, no condemnation for you. You are free. Let freedom settle in your heart this morning. There is nothing that can separate me from loving you. I'm going to now, seeing that it is a court setting that Paul was involved in, and it was legal language, I'm going to try and argue a case this morning, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, and show you what God thinks about you, so that that chapter, the love chapter, is going to sink into our hearts in such a way this morning that when we leave here, there will never be condemnation upon us again. Now that I've set myself up for a dramatic preach, that better work out. Okay, all right. So I want to just go back to the basics. There's some foundations that we need to understand about God. And about ourselves, and then we will understand this love that God has for us a little better. So I'm going to take you right back to the beginning. We're going to the book of Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 is where I want us to have a look at. And so God creates the heaven and the earth. He puts the trees, the fish, the birds, he put all of that on the earth. He creates Adam, and he creates Eve, which is he calls man, which is you and I. And the Bible says, he put us in a garden, and the Bible says that then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Did God walk in the garden with Adam and Eve? Yeah. So he creates the heavens and the earth, this monumental creation that we're still trying to measure how far is the universe. He created it and he's put things in there, and we're still trying to figure out what's going on here. This thing is so large. And he puts in the center of that, he puts man, and he comes to them, and he comes and he walks with them in the cool of the day, and he has a relationship with them. Sin comes into the picture. We won't go down that whole snaky story. But sin comes into the picture, and Adam and Eve are ripped out of God's hands, and they are separated from him. And they are cast out of the garden, and they are walking on the earth in shame. They cover themselves, and they're walking in shame, and they are separated from God. And that relationship God wanted has been tainted, has been damaged. we see that God then goes on and he calls for himself a people. Who knows what the name of those people was? Anyone, this is a real question for a real answer. The Jewish people, the Israelites from the Israelites that he called to be his people. And in Exodus 25:8, we can just leave that up there as I continue with the story. He calls this group of people and he says to them, okay, maybe I must explain a little bit further. So God makes a promise to Abram. He says to Abram, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to do all these things for you and your descendants. We find then that the descendants find themselves in Egypt, to try and shorten the story. They call the Israelites, and there they are stuck. And they call out to God, God help us. God raises up Moses. And he says to Moses, go and fetch my people out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land, to the land I promised Abram. He goes in there, and there's the story of the plagues. There's a whole lot of things that happens. And the Israelites come out of Egypt, and they walk into the desert. And God says, now, Moses, I got this plan that I want you to execute for me. I want you to build a tabernacle for me in the center of my people. So as they traveled through the desert, they would have to stop. And remember, this was a nation of people, so it was a huge amount of people. I want you to stop at certain times, and when you stop, you are to position yourself in a certain way. And in the center, this tent, I want you to put there. And the Bible says in Exodus 25:8, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. So once again, God calls his people to himself, and he puts himself in the center of the earth for one purpose, to dwell among them. He wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve. He wanted a relationship with the Israelites. It's been God's desire from the start to have a relationship with you and I. In the New Testament, we see God says, Paul says to some of the believers, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within it? There's that beautiful word that dwells, that makes my home, that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So all through the Bible, that same theme runs through. I love you with all my heart. I have a desire to be in a relationship with you. That is my purpose for calling you. That is the reason why you and I are here, is for this one reason, that you are in a relationship with me. Colossians 1:22 says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Sin had come in and we were separated from God. God's master plan, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross so that the sin that Johann committed was taken away. That the sin that Sebastian committed was taken away. Jesus died in your place so that your sin that stands as a wall between you and God is separated. Why would he do that? Why would he separate it? Why would he remove the separation? Because of the love. The sin was the thing that was separating us from God, and he removed it so that he could now come and have a relationship with us. So the Bible says that we must be ready in season and out to give an account of what we believe and why we believe it. And when we're sharing the gospel, this is the gospel. God created every human being to be in a relationship with him. Sin came into the world, separated us. God fixed it through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he's taken away your sins, and if you desire to have a relationship with God, here it is. That is the gospel in a nutshell. And those very words each of us heard at a certain point, a conviction came in our hearts. We received that word. We said, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be in a relationship with you. Our sins were washed away. We were transferred from darkness into light. And we now have the privilege of spending time with God. So that is a foundational truth that we can put in our hearts that makes us who we are. The other thing is this, that the other part of what it is that makes us who we are is 1 Peter 1:14-16. And it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So we were sinners. We lived according to our fleshly desires. And that very fleshly desires is the thing that separated us from God. That desire to want to be sinful, that desire to want to do what the flesh wants is what separated us from God. And God has now reconciled us. And he says, now that you are reconciled to me, the word reconciled means to bring back. Now that you've been reconciled to me, I want you to be holy. I want you not to conform to the evil desires that you had in the past. So that is the map for us for how we proceed. That God wants us to be in relationship with him and he wants us to live a holy life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, so we're all on the same page. Okay, so I just don't want my voice to sort of be the only one heard here, and I like the feedback because then I know that you're all still awake and some of you haven't fallen asleep for real. Okay, good. So now that we've established that foundational truth that God wants to be in a relationship with us, I want us now to look at Romans 8 and see it through that light. That every word that's spoken there, every word that's written is God declaring his love for us, and what it is that he wants. So, for us who have sinned, and let me tell you, I still sin today. I still make mistakes today, but my heart is set on the things of God, and my heart wants to do what God does. But every now and again, I find that this flesh tends to slip up and make a mistake. Am I the only one in the room? You terrible bunch of sinners. Okay, so I still make mistakes today. And God says to me and to every one of us this morning, even though you're making these mistakes, I want to remind you that there's no condemnation for you. Why is there no condemnation? Because I have desired to have a relationship with you. I knew beforehand you would not be able to do this thing. I knew you'd not be able to live a flawless, holy life. But all I want from you today is I want you to do your best. I want you to strive after holiness. I want you to do this, to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. That is the crux of what I want. When you do that, when you deny this flesh and you choose to follow the Spirit of God, then you are walking the way I want you to walk, and then there's no condemnation for you. That is what that scripture means. If we sin, we've got to repent of that sin. We've got to say, Lord, I'm sorry I made that mistake. I won't do it again. I was a bit rough with my wife, verbally. And let me just wipe my brow there. Just so there's no misunderstanding. I didn't treat your daughter well. I know what you said. You said to me, men, love your wives. Yeah, that's what it says. Men, love your wives, and women, respect your husbands. That's what I've said to you. That's what I want you to do. So when I'm impatient and I maybe don't speak to my wife as gently as I should, then I go for God. I said, here I am again. I'm so sorry that I've done this, but here I am. What now? And again, he'll say to me, don't worry, Sean. You and I are in a relationship. I forgive you. I can see your heart. I can see your mind is set on doing what is good and doing what is right. So even though you made a mistake, there's no condemnation for you. Nothing. He says, but I want something from you, Sean. And it's this. I want you to deny the flesh. I want you to work at putting this flesh aside, and I want you to live by my Spirit. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh? You know, if you've seen a horse, when they put the bridle on a horse, it's like that thing that goes over his mouth. The bit's the part that goes into the mouth, and you've got all the harness, whatever. And when the rider grabs the reins and he's walking the horse doesn't have a choice because he's walking him and he's pulling him this way, and the horse follows where he goes. If you've seen how they deal with oxen, They put the ring through the ox's nose with a leash on it, and they pull the ox. So when he feels the nose being pulled, he, as big as he is, he follows this little man because he's got this bit in his nose that he's being pulled by. But he is then led by his keeper. And God is saying in this thing here, I want you to be led by my spirit and not by the flesh. I want you to follow everything that I am telling you, because the Spirit of God is God. God is living inside of you, and he's saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to be led by me and not by the flesh. So what does the flesh want? The flesh wants comforts. In Romans 8, and I can't go through all those verses because there's far too many, so I'm going to try and paraphrase and work through them as far as I can. He says that you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. So all of us at one point were in the realm of the flesh before we were rescued by God. And in that realm, what did we do? We got up in the morning, we got dressed, we went to work, we got money. What did we do with our money? Whatever our flesh wanted. Ruli made an example this morning of during the time of stewardship teaching, where he was explaining about what we do with our money, whether we're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. What you do with your money is important. So previously, all we did was we looked after this flesh, whatever this flesh wanted. If the flesh wanted to go for a massage, it goes for a massage. There's no problem with massages, don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to make a... massages are good. I'm just making a point here, and that is that we live to please this flesh. If the flesh wanted massages, that's what we did. If the flesh wanted to relax and put its feet up, then that's what we did. If the flesh wanted to steal, we stole. We didn't care because all we lived was to please the flesh. If the flesh wanted to lie, and your conscience would have told you, don't lie, because God has built you with a conscience. But the flesh would say, listen, I want you to lie. Because if you lie here, you're going to make some more money than what you're making now. If you lie here, you're not going to get in trouble for the mistake that you make. And what do? You lie. And you are led by the flesh. Where the Spirit of God today will say to you, don't lie. Own up to what the mistake you made. If it costs you money, if it costs you your job, if it costs you whatever, then so be it. But do the right thing. Live the holy life. That's one example of what it means to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Ryan is not here now, and I didn't ask him for permission to share this, so I hope he doesn't mind. But we had an elders meeting, and he was sharing a little bit of his story of how he came to be a full-time elder. And he was saying that in the company that he worked, he was doing well. He was been there for 22 years. Yep. And 25 years, he's been in the company. He did well. He had shareholding, etc. in the company. And he's had a good salary, and then they would give you bonuses, incentive bonuses, performance bonuses, etc. The harder you worked, the more you gave of yourself to the flesh, to the company, the more they would pay you. And so they would draw you in until you were completely consumed by the company, until you were fully devoted to that company. But you'd be rewarded all the time. You would be given the incentives for you to go there. And so you would do whatever the flesh wanted. The flesh wanted the money. Where God said, no, don't do that. Rather come spend time with me. But instead what happens was the temptation is there, and the flesh you follow, and the flesh goes that route. When we were speaking further in the eldership meeting, the Holy Spirit started to reveal some things to us. And he started to remind us of a scripture in Matthew 6, verse 6. And it says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And we see here that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when the Holy Spirit calls you, and for example, into a quiet time of prayer, that there's a reward. So just as the world rewards you by giving you all kinds of incentives and all kinds of things, so God does too. God also rewards you for when you do what he wants, when you follow the Spirit of God. The scripture is very interesting. There's one that says that, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. is that several times in the Bible, when Jesus was teaching and speaking, he would say to guys, I want you to go and I want you to go and pray. Get up early in the morning, go and pray. And he used to lead by example where he went early in the morning and he went to pray. And the Spirit of God today is going to do the same thing. He's going to say to you, remember that relationship that I wanted with you? Remember that time that I wanted you to spend with me? Here's the opportunity now. I want you to come in the morning and I want you to come and spend time with me. That's what the Spirit of God is going to lead you into. You know what the flesh is going to lead you into? No, not now. Another 10 minutes, another 30 minutes of sleep. I'm tired. Okay, I'll skip. I'll do it tomorrow. That's what the flesh is saying. And that is the struggle that we have between the flesh and the Spirit. And that struggle goes on all the time. So I just want to take you back to what I shared earlier about the foundations of our faith, that God has desired a relationship with us. Maybe can I have the somebody to come and play an instrument for us? What are the worship guys? You can come, Sebastian, can you play? Is that for ministry time that you're standing up already in advance? Where was I? Foundations. Going back to that foundation. So this is what God has always wanted, is this relationship. And the whole of Romans is this love letter that God has written to us, that God is saying to us. That he was saying that there's no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. You have had your sins forgiven. I've done it all for you. Absolutely everything. I've forgiven your sins. I've put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I long to be in a relationship with you. But I want this one thing from you, which is for me is the core of the Romans 8 scripture. I want you to live led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So if I had to sum that up, what does it mean to be lived by the Spirit of God? It's having total devotion to God. That's what it means to live by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit is only going to tell you the things that God wants you to do. Come spend time with me. That's why I saved you, man. Come spend time with me. Let us pray together. Let us reason together. Let us love each other together. Come sit in my lap. My son, my daughter. Don't feel condemned that you've sinned. Because my son has paid the price for your sin. You are free this morning. I've set you free for that. And I want you this morning, as you even during worship, as you've been doing, I want you to spend time with me. Because I love you and I want to be this relationship that I want from you. The relationship that I want with you. So this morning, as I'm trusting and believing that truth has sunk into our hearts, that healing and health has come to some of us, I want to ask you just to reflect on what I've said today.